I'm Jody Weitz, results and success coach, and these podcasts teach you how to make significant changes to live your dreams, make a positive impact on the world, and drop your regrets. It's time for you to get spectacular.
Welcome back to Your Spectacular Life. I'm Jody Weitz, your professional and life coach, making sure that both of those areas are nothing less than spectacular. I'm here with Dr. Stephen Paul Edwards. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Jody. Thank you for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. Let me tell you something about Dr. Stephen. Dr. Stephen Paul Edwards is an author who explores the complexities of human behavior, relationship, and personal transformation. Through his work, including the Venus flytrap, he examines how individuals can become emotionally and psychologically entangled in patterns that shape their lives, often without realizing it. With a focus on vulnerability, self-awareness, and accountability, he brings a candid and introspective perspective to conversations about identity, growth, and reinvention, encouraging others to better understand themselves and create meaningful change. Wow, that is, I want to say right off the bat, Stephen, deep.
I love it.
I want to go beyond, how's the weather? What's going on? What did you have for dinner last night? Now, have you always been interested in growth and evolution?
Well, I guess in some way, maybe unconsciously, even as a kid, I was always reaching for something else. But that was mostly because I was running away from myself, to be honest, Jody. I had a traumatic childhood, which I think probably most people listening are going, me too, right? I think most of us in one way, shape or form had what we would consider ourselves to be traumatic. All I wanted to do when I was a kid was run away from home. And I did 8 times, but they kept catching me and bringing me back. But anyway, eventually I was able to escape home, or what I thought I was. And I spent the rest of my life running away from home without realizing that I'm my home.
Right.
And of course, wherever you go, there you are. So that was a long journey. It was a lot
that
of places.
Is a very long journey. And yeah. Stephen, where is home?
Oh, right here. but where do I live
where
right
was,
now?
That where was home?
We could have rehearsed that, right? That was great.
I'm just saying because I love your accent and people are going to be confused. So in the book.
Yeah. Very. No, I was. Yeah, of course. Yeah. So I'm from the UK. I'm from England, but I live in Sarasota, Florida.
Great. All right. And I know you loved it and you decided I'm staying. What did you like about the US and why didn't you want to stay in the UK anymore?
Yeah. Well, I was on the run. I'm kidding. I wasn't on the run, but
background.
I was on the run for myself, right? So I figured maybe I go to America and I'll find some happiness there. But no, I came to America the first time a long time ago, back in 1981. And I knew when I got off the plane, I want to come and live here. This is amazing, right? Not that England isn't nice, but compared to America, this is the land of opportunity and everything else. So I set about coming to live here. It took me 8 years. I actually moved here to live in 1989, and I've been here ever since. So I found Sarasota, honestly, Jody, because of my parents. My parents had a vacation home here. And so we would come here for holidays and things like that. And, it's a beautiful place. I don't know if you've been, but I fell in love with it here in Sarasota and decided that I'd make my home here.
Lovely. That's wonderful. And you know, you're a speaker, you're an entrepreneur. It's interesting. And now you're an author. And what made you want to write the Venus Flytrap?
That's a great question. I've authored books before, usually about personal development. I've done a couple of spiritual books as well,
Nice.
but I really wrote those books, Jody, honestly, as sort of a business card, you know, to when I'm speaking, I can, you know, I'm an author kind of thing, not to really sell books, because I've just been a believer, you know, books. I know you're not going to go very far writing a book. So I didn't write this book to make money, but I did write this book to put the message out there. I really do want to get this book into people's hands, because I think there's so many layers of opportunity to face yourself, look at yourself in a non-threatening way. You know, stories are great teachers, right? Without pointing the finger, without saying, you know, you've done this or you need to do that. And so a lot of people have told me that they've recognized patterns in themselves, things that they've done, where they maybe fell into a toxic relationship, you know, lots of other things in there. So there's a lot to it. I mean, if you look at the book, it just looks like a sexy romantic novel, but it's actually a lot more than that. And it's funny too, right? But it's a story. It's a true story. It's my life, you know, what I happened for in a certain period of my life, which was probably the most profound learning experience I've ever had. Most people look at that and go, it was probably the most traumatic experience I've ever had. That's probably true. That's probably right. But it was a gift, you know, really. It was a and I'm sure, you know, everybody's heard this, you know, that at a certain point in your life, you are ready to go to the next level. And some people call that, you know, the dark night of the soul. And it's really, that is facing your shadow self. The parts of yourself that you've given up or fragmented for different reasons, usually because you're afraid to face those things about yourself. You want to push them away. But then, you know, like what you've heard this before, whatever you resist persists, right? You know, so. And then, because you've been afraid to experience those parts of yourself and you see them in others, you draw that person into your life so you'll face that shadow side of yourself. You think it's that person, it isn't that person. It's,
No.
you know, it's you.
They're
So it
bringing
gave
that
me a chance to
out.
look at those things and heal them, which I'm still doing. I'm not saying I'm fully healed, but I'm a lot further
It's a
along than I
long
was.
journey for all of us to
Yeah,
heal.
of course. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, it is interesting because, you know, the book is about your relationship with a woman called Tomas, and it is fully toxic. You know, it the way both of you are acting. I mean, it's very sexual, very sensual, and there is a lot of dysfunction between you two. Lots of it going back and forth, and it's just not her, although you know, you realize that, you know, you kick her out, she comes back, you take her back, you get in challenges again, you split up, you come back together again, and it's an addiction, and you recognize that. And I'm curious about how you were able to say or be courageous to write about yourself, because for a good chunk of the book, I'm saying, get out, get out, get out now. Everyone around you, Jerry, your good friend, get out. Your psychic, Deborah, everyone, get out. But you persisted. And right before I brought this up, you're saying it was a huge gift. So I want to know, first of all, the courage to really be vulnerable and write this story. How did you do it?
Well, you know, it was a remarkable part of my life, obviously, right? And I knew I wanted to write the book. I didn't know what I was going to do with it. I think it was more like I just wanted to write it out and then I could read it and I would like understand better.
Your own
Maybe I'm
person.
fooling myself by saying that, but I don't remember ever thinking that I would be doing this, right? Getting on podcasts, talking about it, marketing a book. It was just a very cathartic experience. But the more I wrote, the more I experienced it, I'm like, this is good stuff, right? This is good stuff. But it's also a way, what happened was, Tamaz was a master teacher for me, you know? And I loved her, right? And I still love her, but in a different way now, for going through that with me, taking me through that, because I learned so much from it. It was a very cathartic to read it and see myself in there, right? See what I did. And of course, I'm going, how the hell did I go back, right? What were you thinking, right? It seems ridiculous. And I say in the book, you know, you're going to say it sometime, and probably earlier, sooner rather than later, you're going to go, there's no way that happened. That can't be true.
Really,
Nobody
you're
could be that stupid, right? But it did. I was, and we were, right? It's true, you know? You know, obviously, I've asked myself that question, right? How
Of
could I just
course.
keep doing it, right?
Yeah.
Because, and you said it earlier, she was my addiction. She was my heroine, right?
Well,
I
what
had to
was
figure
it
out how.
about, what was it about her that again went beyond attraction into entrapment? Just lay us down that foundation so our listeners can understand what was going on in your mind and what you did.
Well, I'm not saying this was going on in my mind at the time, but
Right.
what I recognize now, and we talked about this at the beginning, it was my dark night of the soul. What does that mean? It means that you are going to be attracted to the parts of yourself that you're not experiencing, that you want to, that you fear, right? So let me give you some examples. She was incredibly confident, right? Now you might say, well, you're a speaker, you're getting up with thousands of people. But that doesn't mean you're confident, right, in yourself and in your life. Right. So that's an act. It's an act, right? It's a show, right? Where you are conveying a message doesn't mean you're living it, right? I mean, you can know what to do, but not do what you know, right? And this book is an example. So that just drew me to, because it's like, that's how I want to be in the world. She was being, Jody, who she really is.
Yes.
She was being her authentic self. Look, this is who I am. And she said to me numerous times, look, this is what you get. But you love it, right? Now there's an upside and a downside to me, right? And she says it. I mean, she's like, geez, and she would leave me standing there going, I just had my mouth open going, you can't really argue with that, right? You know? So she was very authentic. And what is the biggest challenge and opportunity for us is to be who we really are in the presence of others. And so at the end of the book, I say, she taught me how to do that. She taught me how to be authentic. To not care about what people think, just be who you are.
Yeah.
But I also know that that relationship, and you know that, I mean, you know that in the early stages, it was impossible. It could never, ever have worked long term. It was a short term situation, fling, whatever you want to call it, that I wanted to enjoy for as long as I could. But it was untenable. She came into my life for a reason, not a lifetime.
How long were you two together when you're, all from meeting till the end? Because
Yeah.
it was tumultuous.
It was very tumultuous. So it wasn't that long. And you're going through the book and you go, gosh, this must be like, they must have been about 2 years in. We were 6 months in.
Goodness. Okay.
You know, it was just,
Yeah.
and part of that is we don't even know at the end of the first book why this is all happening, right? What is going on? But you're starting to get a sense of there's something not quite right about them both, right? You know, there's some mental instability in there, right? Because you couldn't act that crazy if you were a normal everyday person, right? There's just no way, right? And early in the book, I kind of talk about, you know, I was in an asylum when I was 16, and so was she. So we both had mental illness, right? I mean, from our childhood, and that was acting itself out in all of this as well. And eventually, I'm not going to spoil the second book, but in the end, there wasn't even a choice for us. We had to let each other go because we would have killed each other. You know, I was already losing myself, my identity, My business, everything was imploding because of this relationship. And so in the end, you've got to face it. You've got to face the truth and you've got to face yourself, you know? So I'm not saying I ran in there necessarily, oh yeah, this is fine. I'm going to face all my fears and all my, you know, my flaws. It was happening because I was just so magnetically pulled into it. She just was so magnetic to me. So you said to me, you know, what drew you into her? Hopefully that explains it a little bit. But sometimes, you know, we don't choose who we love. You know, it's just there. It can happen in a moment, and you're just drawn in. But it is a magnetic pull, and it's not really that person.
I absolutely it is coming from you to potentially heal the wounds. Heal the
Exactly.
wounds going back throughout your life. But again, there are aspects, I think, of what you went through in every relationship that we have. And eventually, again, at the end of book one, this book, you felt safe enough to recognize that I'm in it and I accept her, I accept myself for however long it will last. I'm curious though, what did it cost you to kind of live? It almost seemed like a dual reality. You knew what you were doing, you couldn't help it, kept going back. You would be with her, you would have kind of the same pattern over and over again. But what did it cost you physically, emotionally, mentally to go through that, and not what you gained at the end, but during it?
So I mean, I was emotionally drained, as it really shows in the book. I mean, I was completely, I gave myself away, right? So usually in a toxic relationship, and it was a very toxic relationship, usually there's a giver and a receiver, right? And neither are going to be fulfilled by either, right? So the person that's receiving all the time, they can never get enough. And the person who is the giver that feels like that they can never give go. So they're giving, 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 giving. So you give yourself away. And so, you know, one of the things that I help people recognize is these patterns in themselves so they don't have to spend years, right? Either figuring it out. And sometimes people never figure it out, Jody. So people just keep doing,
Absolutely.
going and going and going through the same thing. So the gift of this was it was so intense. There's no way you could, it's untenable. You couldn't live that way again. At the end, you've got to face it and realize I got to heal, right? I was pushed into it to such a degree. It was like, you know, if you don't figure this out, I'm going to push you over the edge of this cliff that you're standing on right now. So it was like the universe, my soul, whatever you want to call it, just said, this is it. You're not getting away this time, you know, because you've been clever, you've known all these things, you've got all these skills, but they're not helping you. They're helping other people, but they're not helping you. So now is the time where we're going to put you in a place, we'll box you in where you've got to face yourself. And you're going to be, in a way, you're going to be all alone and there's no one left to look at but yourself.
And after that intensity, all you have is yourself. You go through and all you have is to really, start again. You're at the bottom. You're exhausted. You have been on an amazing ride, really, but you start building yourself up. How did you do that? And first of all, how did you say, really, this is it? No more. I cannot go on. And then start building.
You go back to who you are and what made you who you are, right? The things that you'd given away, like, and this happened numerous, you know, we, as you said, we broke up all the time, right? We broke up, and sometimes were longer than others. Sometimes it was a day, sometimes it was, you know, a few weeks, whatever. But then what I would do when we were broken up, I would go back to doing those things. I would go back to meditating. I would go back to working out. I'd go back to making sure I'm eating healthy and doing healthy things, right? Thinking healthy thoughts. So I was fortunate that I had that grounding, that I had that experience over years and years and years of knowing how to be healthy, knowing how to do all the things that would make me balanced, right? Or relatively balanced. And so when we break up, I would just go back because there was a void because she was gone. And so I would fill that void doing the things that I knew would make me healthy again, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, and financially. And then when she would come back in my life, it would just go back again into chaos,
Yeah,
right?
right.
So then when I finally made the final decision, as you were asking, to let her go, I went back to those things, and now, of course, I was able to do them consistently back over time. So I
I
found
see.
I found myself again. Now that doesn't mean I've healed, right? That just means
Right.
you got back to where you were, right? And then the healing begins after that, right? Because you can't really heal in that state of chaos and
No,
stress,
not at all.
anxiety, and all those things. So you were exactly right. I had to rebuild my life again and then rebuild myself from the inside out so that I wouldn't attract this into my life again. And that is an interesting thing because to go through the healing that I went through, I had to make some sacrifices and make some changes to be able to write the book, because that's not a book you can write when you're dating someone or you're
No.
married to somebody, right?
No.
You just couldn't, right? And so I finally decided, Jody, I have to be on my own. And
Okay.
that's a scary thing for me, right? Some
Yep.
people have, spend time on their own their whole life. Not me. I just
Well,
spent.
you had did have four marriages, that is in the book, so I didn't want to call you out.
That's
But
fine. I mean, yeah, it's true.
they were to different women. I mean, one again, the opposite of sexual appeal, your first wife, Mandy, very different than, there was not a lot of sexual chemistry, very
No.
different than Tomas at the end of the book. So, where did you find the balance in saying, I have to, I can't have no sexual chemistry, and I can't have sexual chemistry that'll burn the house down? What, how did you come to
Well,
that?
there was all kinds of things that went through my mind as you were saying that. Let me just center myself to answer what I think is going on there. So yes, they were all. Oh, that's it. So yes, they were all very different. And people say to me, four marriages. Holy heck, what was wrong with them all?
Oh no, not
And then
as
I
not
just say,
thinking
look,
that
it's
marriage is
a.
a two-way street.
I
What's
go,
wrong
listen.
with them all?
Exactly right. So I go,
Yeah.
well, it's a simple case of mathematics, right?
Oh, okay.
Four marriages, and in those four marriages, there's only one constant. It's me. It's
And
me, right?
that's you, right?
That's me. Pretty
Right.
simple, right? Pretty simple.
Yes.
So yeah, I think I've mentioned this in the book, it's a dichotomy because, Mandy was my best friend in the world, right? She was just everything to me except on the physical side. Whereas Tamaz was not my friend. She was not
That
my friend, right?
is
But she was
true.
everything that I could have wanted
Yeah.
on the other side of that, on the sexual
Right,
side.
right.
But also, she demonstrated, again, as I've said, parts of myself that I wanted to embrace and I want to embrace. And I'm doing that now, right? So,
Great,
like
yeah.
the confidence thing, just but not confidence that's fake, that's out in the
Yeah,
world. I'm a
yeah.
confident, cocky, aggressive guy. I'm confident just in myself, in the way I carry myself. And that's just a presence. It's not, showing up and appearing to be confident. It's just, a certainty, a depth, a presence that I feel good about myself. Not in an
That's
arrogant
great.
way, but I just feel good about myself.
Well, and
And
it
that's
it's
some.
it, and it sounds like in a much more normal, grounded way that you don't have to flaunt anything. I know in the book you talk about your cars, your Bentley, your Rolls-Royce, and that is in some ways kind of a flaunting, but this is real confidence, unless you really love driving those cars, which they sounded like a blast. They sounded like you both look good in them, but this is real. This is authentic
It's an
confidence.
interesting thing though, Jody, about the cars, right?
I'm just, I'm bringing it up because,
No,
yeah.
yeah, it's good because I got those cars and the house when I was married.
That
It was never
number
about,
fourth
it
wife.
was just a
Yeah.
car. The Rolls Royce was for her because that's what she wanted. And I liked the Bentley. We just got cars that we liked. I mean, just,
Nice.
they're obviously crazy cars, but it was never about going out and flaunting them and other, you know, it
Okay.
wasn't about that. It could have been, but it wasn't. And the house was just my dream home, you know? And so we got that together. And honestly, I thought that we were going to live out our days married and, you know, enjoying life. So but they became weapons of mass destruction when I came out of the marriage, and then with Tomas, you know. So yeah, we used to enjoy driving around and of course
Fun.
flaunting them and flaunting ourselves and mostly flaunting her. I mean, people couldn't really care less about whether I was there. They're all looking at her, right? Which was
Right.
fine with me.
Right.
So
I
yeah.
love the part in the book. I don't mean to interrupt, but yeah, she went to one of your talks and she walks in the room and all eyes are on her. I
All
mean,
eyes are on her.
this kind of a beauty. Yeah.
Yeah. And she
But
knew that. I mean,
of course, she
she would love
used
to
it.
disrupt everything and get all
I
the
mean,
attention.
when, yeah, you use it. You use what you got, right?
That's right. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I
Now,
admired her for it.
were
Again,
you,
I admired her for that. Yeah.
yeah, were you ever afraid of people finding about, living again the dichotomy, the life on stage and helping them with self-growth and then finding out about this other side? I mean, were you ever scared about that? Again, a dichotomy for sure.
Yeah, well, I mean, she came out on the road with me, and we were getting into all kinds of trouble when she was out on the traveling with me.
Interesting.
I've only put a little bit in the book. I mean, it was insane.
Okay.
So the honest answer to that has to be no. I was prepared to take
Okay.
whatever it was, you know. I mean, she came into the ballroom. I really should have said, "Do not come in here," right?
Yeah, that
Which
wouldn't have
probably would
stopped
it wouldn't have
her.
stopped her anyway, right? So that's why, so
Yeah.
why even bother, right?
Yeah,
You know?
correct.
No point. What I did do in the end is I stopped bringing her out with me. I did. I used to talk about drawing this line in the sand and she would just step over it.
Yeah.
So I did start to set some boundaries in that regard because my business was doing terrible because of all this, you know. I mean, because I was so distracted, I didn't care,
Yeah,
you know,
when
which is
you're in that addictive behavior, everything else falls by the wayside.
just become very irresponsible.
Yeah, exactly. Now, what would you recommend to a person who, let's just say, has some of, they realize they might be in their own kind of Venus flytrap? With another person, or again with a gambling or with drugs, or what would you recommend to start making them more aware of their behavior to come out of that if they're ready?
Yeah. Well, I thought you were going to say, what would you say to someone? I was going to say, good luck.
Oh, goodness. And in many ways, you're kind of right. Be until you're ready to change, right?
That's the key
I
thing that you
mean,
said
you
at the
weren't
end,
ready
right?
month one or month three.
Yeah. You know,
Yeah.
that's the truth of it, Jody. You know, they've got to be ready. I mean, you
Yep.
can't help anybody that's not ready. And sometimes people come to me and we have a session and I just say, are you ready to change? And what do they say? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, can I ask you a few questions? Right. And I ask them some questions. They go, I got to be honest with you, you're not ready. And
Yeah.
that's okay. There's no judgment on that. Right.
Right.
It seems to me that this is something you need to go through. And there's still things for you to get from it. And if I, you know, in any way interfere in that, if I talk you out of being in that relationship, you're just going to get it back into another one. You know,
Exactly.
you're going to meet the same person in a different body, you know? So, you know, I said, listen, there's a time for everything, right? And this is a time to be in a toxic relationship for as
Right.
long as you need to be. And when you don't need to be anymore, you'll call me back and you'll say,
Yeah.
now I'm ready. And that's great.
Exactly.
That's
Yeah,
great.
you're totally right about that. I wanted to read something at the very end of the book. You were talking, you led with many gifts that she gave you. But it says, Tomas pushed me beyond belief. She quite literally got me out of my mind and into my heart. She gave me one of the greatest gifts of all. She taught me how to be really who I am. And she taught me by example. She never let anyone control her. She could have had all the money and possessions, but she would never compromise who she was for any of that. Now, that takes tremendous courage. She has
Absolutely.
flaws, some of which you see, but no matter what, she tr stayed true to herself and her inherent nature. And in many ways, that again is a gift to be who we are authentically and inherently, even though there are flaws, or you say at a certain amount of time, I can be with you and then no more. I mean, we have to say that with any relationship when it's not serving us anymore.
Yeah,
So.
absolutely. I mean, like I said in the book, and I said to you, I am so grateful to her. I loved her then and I love her now. She's an incredible woman. She absolutely is, I mean, who wouldn't, as a man or a woman, want to be able to be their authentic self,
Right,
to
right.
embrace their flaws, to say, this is who I am, love me or like me.
Yep,
Love me or not, love me or hate me, right?
yep.
And she was prepared to do that. So, and I think that is the greatest gift of all. And that's why I say, I've worked with some of the most incredible speakers, gurus, personal development people, but that experience that I went through was the greatest gift of them all. I learned more from that than anything else. And one of the things I realized, Jody, and I don't want to make this sound like I'm just going to say it. She's made that choice in this life. She is a master teacher, and she'll never be normal. She'll never be a person that anybody could spend the rest of their life with. It's just not, she's not here for that reason. She's not here to do that.
And her
And
father in the book, you said, even said that.
he told me.
Those are, yeah,
He
she's
told me.
gonna destroy your life.
Yeah, because that's what she's meant to do. And I tell the story in the book about the frog and the scorpion.
Yes.
It's just their
Right.
nature.
Right.
Doesn't
Right.
mean they're bad, it's just their nature, right?
Yeah.
And
Well,
it's a beautiful thing and it's a scary thing, right? It's a way to
yeah.
grow and it's a way to destruct, right?
Right. Now, Stephen, I love the learning. I think it's an amazing learning that you, again, a gift God for yourself, got through this very tough, heart-wrenching, a deeply emotional experience. And I just wanted to ask you, how can people contact you for using you through your coaching services to kind of glean some of that wisdom on that, on business affairs, on anything that's going on in their life.
Yeah, well, thank you for asking. I've sent you a link. The team sent you a link of,
That will be in the show
yeah.
notes.
So people can get the first three chapters of the book for free. So they can read a little bit and see if they resonate with it. And then there's also a link so that people can, spend 30 minutes with me, complimentary. We can have a chat and see if they feel that I would be someone that could add value, help them through a toxic relationship, or how to get out of one, or how not to get into one again, or this is also a business side to what I do as well, and health side. I've gone through all these things and learned a lot. But my focus really now is to build a community where people have gone through these things, because when you go through this kind of thing, you feel alone,
Yep,
and you
you
think that
do.
nobody else has ever done this, nobody else has been through this, and you're the only one. And so by creating a community where people can share, their insights and their experiences, it makes people feel, okay, I'm not the only one. And if they got through it, I can get through it with help. And all I do is give them the tools, right?
Great. I think that is great because, at the bottom level, when you've gone through a relationship, any relationship that's failed, there is shame. They're
Yeah,
ashamed there is
no,
guilt,
true.
and that,
Yeah.
you know, you don't want to carry that through your life into other relationships or with yourself. So that is very generous of you to offer that 30-minute first three chapters, and those will be in the show notes. Stephen, thank you so much for both writing the book and for being on your Spectacular Life podcast. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It was a delightful conversation, and you asked great questions, so
Oh,
appreciate
you're
it.
so nice. You're so nice. All right. You take care then.
Yeah, you too now. Bye-bye.
Great. Bye.
I'm so grateful that you've listened to the end of this podcast. Please subscribe, rate, and review it, and share it with your friends. I love teaching insights so that you can have a more impactful and meaningful life. It's my mission to build a thriving community of happy, fulfilled people.